It's the Paul Patterson and Tom Scalin podcast show. They're talking the walk and not about sloppy joes. So, talk and walk show.
Welcome back to Talking the Walk, episode 73, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I am Paul Patterson.
And I'm Tom, no longer sick with the vid, Scalin.
Actually, you should have, Lee basically said, told all the listeners last week that you got suspended for a week for disagreeing with Brock, saying that Nelly was a really smart man. Oh, I disagree with that horror. So Lee basically said the reason why you weren't on last week was you're suspended.
Well, I didn't get a suspension for swearing, so I might as well get it for disagreeing.
Okay, that's fair. Bailey Bishop and the original artwork, Big Brown and the original music, Tyler Stanley social media, Joe Martin, winner against the Pella Little Dutch last night in high school girls basketball. Joe Martin, and marketing, Jeff Gravy. We are 9,220 listens, something like that. Cole Hopkins, if you're listening, I don't know if you are, but we're over 9,200 listens. So we're creeping on that 10,000 mark, which we really like.
Getting ready to do a subscription so we can monetize.
Oh, that subscription stuff frustrates me a great deal, but we're going to let that go. I vented enough today after Linda's retirement party. Watch update. I'm now up to 74 minutes. Yep, still a pile. Anyway, Katie Seder. Here we go. First,
oh my Lord,
not as many movies because there's been some other things going on in the office that she has been paying attention to, mainly the athletic director's interviews that are coming up. So that's all we're going to say about that piece. Are you ready?
Why does that impact her?
Yeah, she's watching. They got all the videos that are out. And yes, a little bit of impact. It grazes. It yes. Yeah. Here's the first movie. Are you ready? And again, I read the description. You guess what she gave it. The Shawshank Redemption. This movie was recommended by Sammy Agard. Now, those of you, little side note, those of you that go to basketball games, when Tim Clay gets talking really fast, you are correct. It does sound like Sammy Hagar, lead singer of Van Halen at one point in time and ever famous I Can't Drive 55, but it is actually Sammy Agard. So, just a little side note there for you. My dad also said it's one movie you must watch. Well, I didn't love it. I am not a violence person. I hate watching it. I do always wonder what prisons are like and what shady stuff goes on in real life. Glad things worked out for Andy and Red. Good ending, though. What do you think she gave Shawshank Redemption?
What? There was violence in the Shawshank Redemption?
Well, there were several scenes of violence, actually.
So
Andy in the film room, Andy in the laundry room, and then what's his name in the cell?
What I'm going to say is I'm never going to tell her to watch Saving Private Ryan, or at least skip the end and the beginning.
For sure.
And I'm going to say she gave it two.
Close. 2.5. She gave it 2.5 stars. Okay. And then also, what's his name get shot out there in the yard?
Do you see him shot? It's like dark.
Yeah, but you see the three spots in his chest, and then anyway.
Didn't she also watch that Jack Nicholas, the mobster that has Jack Nicholas and Leonard DiCaprio and Mark?
The Departed. Mark
and
The Departed.
Departed. Has she seen that?
I think she has, right? I think she's rated that. Yeah. I don't think it did well.
If she
Okay, you ready for the next one? She only has two. This is the last one.
I don't know. I'm baffled, but yes.
Jumanji, The Next Level. So in the world, I'll help everybody out. In the world of Jumanji, this is the second one of the new releases or the redos of Jumanji. Okay.
Four.
I have Four. Not seen. Are you, can I finish?
Well, you can, but you know the answer.
And you're wrong. I have not seen the original Jumanji, so I may add that to the list, but the new version is great. Hilarious. Kevin Hart, The Rock, and the rest of the cast are great in this movie. Good action movie that the whole family can enjoy. And remember, Jumanji, The Next Level, if I'm not mistaken, is the second of Kevin Hart and The Rock, where he goes back in because he needs some. Anyway. So there are actually three Jumanji movies. One way back when with Robin Williams, and then the remake with The Rock and Kevin Hart and Jack Black and all that. Okay. What did she give this one?
How high can we go? 10 out of 10.
It's out of 5 stars.
5.
Yep, that's correct. She gave it 5. Out of 5. So now,
there's violence in this movie.
There is true. That is true. There is.
I have no idea what she thinks about movies. I am so... I don't know if I could live a lifetime watching Disney movies.
You know, if it is a Disney movie, it's getting a 5.
5.
Right. You know it. Okay. Are you ready for questions? I have lots of them.
For me?
Yeah.
Okay.
And for our listeners. So basically where this stems from is I want to get a baseline. I want to get an understanding of what you think, what you call it, and then what your remedy is. Okay, you ready? When you are throwing up, achy, don't feel good, and need to rest a lot. What do you call that?
The flu.
Okay. I would be the same. I would answer that the same. Okay. What do you call it when you have stuffed sinuses, runny nose, cough?
Crud.
Okay. I would call that having a cold.
Well, cold would be to a lesser degree.
What would a cold be for you then?
Oh, just like one of those symptoms or two of those is all
okay.
of them.
Okay. So we're on the same. We're the same for both of those, flu and cold. I wanted to get that. So what do you have for your remedy for the flu?
Coca-Cola.
I love it. That is a great answer.
It's verified by Diana Duffy, our school nurse. She says warm. It's the nectar of the gods. No Coke Zero. Don't mess with that. Coca-Cola.
So it's got to be the real deal. Okay. Mine would be, and do not question the origin of this, but it is from the Patterson house. It would be 7-Up.
Is this going to be baked in grease?
Not for a flu. Stirred so that the carbonation goes away. So you just stir, carbonation goes away. You drink that and then saltine crackers. That would be the remedy for a flu when you feel like you're ready. Okay?
Yep.
With me on that.
Scallon house is similar.
Okay.
I didn't get Coke at that time, but we got saltine crackers and 7-Up.
Okay.
We didn't stir it, though. That's weird.
It gets rid of the carbonation.
But the carbonation is what helps you feel better. Ask Diana.
No, I'm just telling you. That's the reason. I mean, how you get rid of the bubbles is by stirring it. And why we stirred it was to get rid of the bubbles. Yep. Dog chasing its tail. 100%. So the next question then becomes, what is your remedy for your cold?
Coca-Cola.
What else?
For my cold? That's it.
Yes.
Oh, the gods.
So you do no medicine?
I'm not big. If my head hurts, I might take some medicine, but I stay away from a lot of medication.
Like cold medicine, sinus, things like that. You don't do any of that. Okay. Because the next question was going to be, are you pills or liquid when it comes to that?
Well, if not Coca-Cola, then IPA.
So liquid. So liquid. You're liquid.
But I'd be pills.
Okay. Okay. Says that's good to know. So when I have now shifted gears. And for me, when it comes to cold remedy, I would much rather do liquid than the pills for whatever reason. And it may just be me believing it, but I feel like the liquid is quicker acting. That's right.
I never do NyQuil. I never do the pills. I never do anything like
that. Oh, I love NyQuil. I think it helps you sleep and makes you feel better in the morning. That's my two cents on that. So, listeners,
I think Coca-Cola, I just don't believe in it.
Okay. Coca-Cola is your answer for everything. It's a decent answer. It's a delicious answer. I can promise you that I would not feel like drinking a Coca-Cola with the flu. I would not.
You know what my answer is for coming out of surgery?
Coca-Cola. And a bag of peas. So, those of you that are listening, what do you got? What's your answer for growing up? Do you call that the flu? What do you got for sinus issues, runny nose, cough? Is that the cold? And then what are your remedy for both? Okay. Love to hear that. And know what people have to say about that. Okay. Ready for confessional?
Nothing to confess.
Are you ready for mine then? If you're not going to confess anything, are you ready for mine? Are you ready?
I have a confessional.
Okay. What do you got?
Some people don't seem to understand that if you're sick because you have COVID, that you can't go on a podcast that week.
It doesn't make any sense, but that's fine. It's not work. You're not getting paid for this.
But if I can't work, how can I do the podcast?
Oh my goodness gracious. It's on your own time. You can do whatever the heck you want in your free time.
If I'm well enough to do a podcast, I should be well enough to go to work.
You were still emailing and sticking your nose in work.
I was communicating.
Sticking your nose in work. Did you watch shows?
Yes.
Okay. If you're well enough to watch shows, how can you not be well enough to work?
Well, that's what I mean. I should have gone to work, but exactly. They wouldn't let me. They kicked me out for 5 days.
Oh, that's great rational thinking. So, do you have any other confessionals?
Only for the priest.
That's fair. And I am for surely not a priest. Okay. Here's my first one. This one is probably the most embarrassing of the two. Last night at the Pella game, I'm laughing already. They had a first grade class come out and sing the national anthem before the girls game. And I could not stop laughing at the little kids. And the one that got me the most, and I'm talking seventh grade church, my buddy just farted or something that just gets you giggling and you cannot stop giggling. Are you ready? And the bombs busting in air, where they can't pronounce their R's, and they're all singing that, and they all sound the same. They did a great job, but my goodness, was I laughing. It was embarrassing. I was embarrassing last night.
So is this like, you guys have a lot of lot of balls in your trophy case.
Yes, very similar.
There's so many balls in the trophy case.
Oh, goodness gracious. Yes, the Farm Bureau guy that came down in 2015, that was an awful presentation. And I felt like a seventh grader.
Never seen any balls like them.
It's the same thing. That's how I was laughing. Okay. Second one. I have just crushed Marvel series here in the last 10 days. I have finished watching all of WandaVision, Loki. That's two separate ones, by the way. Falcon and Winter Soldier, and then Hawkeye. All four of those in the last 10 days, hammered, just gone. So those are my two confessions.
That's kind of crazy. See, like you had told me that at lunch, and I had to admit to you that my kids have kind of cooled off. They're kind of like, to the series.
Hawkeye was really good. And all four of them were really good, and good in just different ways. Does that make sense? So WandaVision, I thoroughly enjoyed because you knew a little bit of the backdrop that she was essentially creating her own world for her and Vision to live in. And then to hear the backstory of, you know, when she was little, she watched all those old shows, which you can now, you get a greater appreciation for how it all worked out. And then Loki just trying to keep track. Plus, here's a little side note for you. Loki, do you remember that? Have you seen Loki? The little person that runs essentially, you know, are you a robot? Are you a human? The guy that runs the what looks like a metal detector is Aaron Bielner. He is a 1996 Loris grad with Christy and I.
Oh.
Know him well. And so it was pretty cool to see him in that. And, you know, he stars in Little Tin Man, and he's also got a few other things that he has been in. So it was pretty cool to see him in that. And then to try and keep track of all the things that were going on in Loki. And then coming back, Falcon and Winter Soldier, seeing that transition. Not gonna give anything more away. And lots of social issues and addressed in Falcon and Winter Soldier, which I thought was really good. And then Hawkeye was just, it was exciting to see somebody, you know, an apprentice, basically, is what it boils down to. So all good. I'd recommend them if you're into that sort of thing.
Well, have you watched The Eternals?
No, I have not. That's a movie though, right?
That is a full-length movie, yes.
Yeah, and I've got to get caught up in. I've got to get caught up on all of the new movies, the new releases. And then I was also telling Chris, you know, the other thing for me is I also have to at some point in time, Book of Boba Fett. I've got to watch that because I have finished The Mandalorian. All 12, 13 episodes, whatever they are for the two seasons, seen both. So we got to get that done. Okay. You ready for feedback?
You bet.
So last week, the question was about urinals. So when you go into the bathroom, what's that?
I said, I know.
Oh, you listened?
No.
Exactly. Which urinal do you use and all that stuff? So Thomas Minert, sent back the first one. Far left urinal, as long as I can keep a one urinal buffer between me and anyone else. I think that's very appropriate. That's my two cents on that. The next one is from Trevor Tompkins, and Trevor Tompkins actually sent an email, so it's a little lengthy, and he's catching up on two episodes. Sorry, really busy at work, so trying to catch up. Fansville, officiating is a huge issue. By the way, little side note, we were in Pella Christian on Friday. Two really young kids officiating, and their fan, singular, could not let it go that they weren't calling things that he thought they should be calling. They should have taken a video of that and sent it out to everybody in the universe saying, this guy right here is part of the reason why young people don't want to get into officiating.
You said their fans, just one was being an issue?
He would not let it go. And they were young. You could tell they were young. They were nervous, frustrated. I see it getting worse before it gets better. For many reasons, young adults are just not getting into it. Very frustrating given that the average age of an Iowa basketball official right now is 57 years old. Smaller schools, at a minimum, may need to go to two officials per game when necessary altogether to alleviate the shortage going forward. Not sure how football sits, but I've not seen any young football officials from the sidelines in any games I've taken stats the last 4 years. Took a long break from officiating basketball, but I'm back this year and instantly, my schedule filled up, even varsity level, as there is always opportunity to fill in vacancies on these three-man crews. I think it's great to stay active, given my sedentary job, and get paid well for it. Wish others could see it that way. Also was listening, this one, you're going to enjoy this one right here. Also was listening to The Herd the other day, and Jordan Palmer, Carson's younger brother, who is a QB consultant who works with collegiate pro QBs, feels that the transfer portal will lead to the mid-majors essentially being flooded with more commits now and become junior college or two-year schools for many athletes, especially at the QB position, where they'll show their stuff for 2 years and then see an opportunity to go make good money with NIL and a Power Five, given the ability to transfer at any time. Really has changed the landscape of college football. So I thought that was an interesting perspective that Palmer mentions.
I agree. That's interesting.
Maximum capacity. Little kids around Warren County and Trevor Tompkins, thank you for not using the short urinals. Trevor's not very tall. I always take the outside short, if available, to avoid it at all possible standing next to someone. Although I believe you and I, that means he and me, had a chuckle recently that I screwed that up and took the open middle and you walked in. And that is very true. It was pretty funny.
Who was it that you had the paper towel issue with?
That was Larry Johnson. He and I had that conversation about running a consulting firm for people putting in bathrooms or redoing their bathrooms about all being touchless.
No, I don't know. For some reason, I thought it was Tompkins. I was going to say, you guys have bathroom things going on.
No, his was he should have taken the one next to him, either to the right or to the left. Instead, he took the one in the middle, which means somebody had to stand next to him when they came in to go to the bathroom.
Sometimes I take the middle at school just and lots of people come in and leave.
Well, we didn't talk about it, but the bathroom down there in Eastview, you know, the upper level of the high school at the two levels down there. If I am standing in there and that kid is grade 8 through 12, they will not come in and use the urinal next to you. A 6th and 7th grader doesn't care. They will come in and use it. But anybody older than that, they will go into the bathroom. They will go in the stall or they will wait for you to finish. Because it's only a 2-stall deal and there's no divider. To finish up Trevor's email, memory. I think you and I have similar issues with names and faces if not seeing them regularly. With COVID and me being locked up in my basement for the last 2 years, can't imagine this hasn't become worse. I think your issue is related to the amount of sports knowledge or coaching memories taking up capacity is very important to you. As Lee described on this episode, I have a very similar issue with use of sports knowledge or the ability to name about 90% of 80s pop rock song or artists in the first 3 months. I never lose that from my brand hard drive, but all the other stuff is in one ear and out the other. Just ask his wife. Pretty accurate. Peter Sand was next. So his was he sent me an article about one of the reasons why somebody left Tennessee Martin, I think is what it was. I'll click on it here. Master P's son transferred from Tennessee State to Xavier. And they claimed that it had nothing to do with NIL or anything like that. It had everything to do with he hurt his knee and the medical capacity that Tennessee State had was not as good as Xavier, so they went there for his rehab essentially and did that. And so that sparked a little bit of a conversation between the two of us about, you know, he essentially made $2 million to sign with Tennessee State from some donor, and now he is going to, or $2 million to sign with Xavier. I can't remember where it came from. Long story short, he transferred because of medical reasons and not because of anything else other than that. And so Pete and I shared a good conversation about how that went through, basically. Dennis Bura was next. I suffer from CRS. I can't remember stuff. That isn't what he said, but we are keeping this non-E. So it is. I can't remember stuff. Some days I can't remember what I had for breakfast, but I can remember that there is 1,440 minutes in 24 hours. Mr. Foster asked us that one day. He was my eighth grade math teacher. I remember Coach Lipovac telling us to leave it all in the field and give it your all, September 16th, 1996, maybe. I have a really hard time learning all the kids' names each year. I tend to learn all the linemen's name and feel horrible that I don't learn everyone's names. And then the next year when I see them, I have no idea what their names are. I'm really surprised you are concerned about memory, considering you are a freak when it comes to memory. You remember what plays were called and who jumped off sides. You also remember players, their parents, their siblings. I'm sure you probably know something about their distant family. He's really excited about the next podcast. And I think part of the reason why he's really excited was because Lee wants a guest to be somebody that was married at Rudy's with that little arch that they have there. So he's hoping that there was actually a wedding ceremony at some point in time at Rudy's in which they used the wedding arch, and he would like those people to be a guest at some point in time on the podcast. Katie, if you're listening, movie, The Shack. I don't know what that is, but that's what he would like. And then Dennis picks the urinal next to the short one, usually because his son Jace is with him using the short one. So that would be the urinal that he does. And then he also mentioned that he loves the his favorite temperature in the car is -4 because it looks like a guy on the toilet. Crappy weather. Pun intended. Very simple. I mean, for sure, pun intended. Next one's from Tyler Shamel. Tyler Shamel, agree with Lee that money was already likely a factor in recruiting. However, these recruits are signing $1,000 million NIL deals. I don't know what type of money was being given to these kids prior to NIL. Could be 100% wrong, though. I also like the idea of closing the portal for some period of time. That was from Meat. Skittles gummies are thebomb.com. Think Don and I downed all of them less than an hour one Friday night. And then he asked about Sunday basketball. And he is also taking the farthest urinal away from the door. And then Brock Sweckle is our last, unless, of course, you have some, last piece of feedback. And now I have to find Brock Sweckle's. Okay. Feedback. I do the same thing Nelly does in the bathroom. Love to see if someone will choose right next to me or give a buffer. I believe if an option, you should give a one urinal buffer. Also, touch that he remembers my number. I personally am terrible at remembering names. I'd also be interested in hearing more about the Hall of Fame process and criteria sometime. So at some point in time, we'll have to help him out with that. And then Katie Theater, Forrest Gump, if you have not already seen it. It is his all-time favorite movie. That's what we
can't
got.
Can't violence.
Yeah, actually there is. Do you have raindrops, sideways? Anyway, do you have any feedback?
No, nobody sent me any feedback.
That is accurate this time. I would agree wholeheartedly with your assessment. High school sports, basketball. We did a good job of updating everybody last week. And so basketball, boys basketball for us, have lost two in a row now. They lost to Pella Christian at Pella Christian on Friday night, and then they lost last night at Pella. Two hard-fought games just came up on the short end. And then the girls are the complete opposite of that. They won both of their games on Friday and Tuesday. They beat Pella Christian there handedly. And then they beat Pella in a great game last night in Pella. So two really good wins there. Wrestling, they won two huge duels last week against Waukee and Urbandale. And then they finished really well team-wise at the is it Edwinger at Urbandale, the tournament on Saturday. So
yep.
Two really good showings. And then they've got a big meet tomorrow night. Conference is on the line when they wrestle at Indianola tomorrow night. And then on Saturday is conference. And then they should also find out where they're at for final duel rankings and whether or not they're going to get to participate in team duels. So that's what's going on. Swimming has got conference on, or had conference on Saturday. I did not see final standings on that, so I don't know exactly where they finished. I think Will Chase was a conference champion in something. I don't know if it was individual or a relay, but was involved in something there. And then bowling, I have not seen an update at all on bowling. So I'm not sure how, and I didn't talk to Tyler Lamb today, so I don't know how they're doing. I thought maybe you might have something on bowling there.
No, I don't know anything about bowling either. I haven't seen anything on Twitter and hadn't heard anything.
Okay.
Haven't seen anything, any press releases from the AD.
So, yes, well played. Yesterday, had an opportunity because of IFCA looking to have a place to do their combine. So, had an opportunity to take a tour of the West Des Moines facility out there, Hy-Vee Hall / Mid-American Energy, the RecFlex. Unbelievable facility. And several things that I learned. Number one, not very expensive to rent. Number two, absolutely enormous space on the inside with lots of different options and functions. And then number three, the city of West Des Moines owns it. I did not know all that. Anyway, April 30th, the IFCA will be back in business again with their combine. We're trying to work through some various details, but that Saturday we're gonna host our combine again. Hopefully Channel Seed can help us and partner up with IHSSN and broadcast it too for us. That's what we're hoping for. So we'll see how that all shakes out. But right now, tentative.
Well, that's kind of a new. It's kind of the new arms race, the building of all those facilities. You know, West Des Moines building that. Dallas Center Grimes is going to have another one out there, and they're going to have, I don't know, 12, 8 grass soccer fields. Norwalk is trying to build that Norwalk. What is it? The Norwalk Central.
Yep.
Over there,
yep.
Where you see the Hughes Crossing, that's going to go there. You know, and then the hotel on Lake Colchester, and then there's supposed to be one more thing.
So last weekend, that facility,
that
RecFlex, had two indoor softball games going on at the same time on the turf. They had three basketball games going on. So they had a softball tournament, indoor softball tournament. They had an indoor basketball tournament, and then they had a hockey tournament all at the same time out there. Plenty of parking, plenty of places for people to watch and get everything done. They serve beer, they serve alcohol, and they have a full service bar, meaning bar food. So they have hamburgers and hot dogs and things like that.
I'm sure the officials are going to be well taken care of out there.
Sure. And then probably the most interesting thing was, he said they haven't advertised at all, and they are full often. And he said what they're going to do is they're going to evaluate their downtimes or their lulls, and then they're going to turn around and see what kind of tournament or something what event can they host during a lull. Otherwise, they don't have to do a whole lot of advertising. It's all word of mouth, and they are staying pretty busy. It's a pretty impressive place. You got anything else?
Nope.
High school sports-wise, you're good? Okay. You ready for the non-sponsor?
Hit me.
TGI Fridays.
Jack Daniels.
Yes. That is exactly what I was thinking. Jack Daniels sauce.
You love the Jack Daniels sauce.
It is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. If you get a chance, I don't even know if they still have it. I don't remember last time I've eaten it at TGI Fridays, but last time we were there, they still had it. And the Jack Daniels sauce burger was yummy. Yummy.
I bet our waitress remembers the last time you ate at a TGIF Fridays.
That was in Minnesota. That one was.
Yeah.
That particular incident was Minnesota.
And nothing bad happened.
Okay, audience. I was waiting. I didn't know where you were going with that, so I am.
Nothing bad happened. I'm not going to tell the story because that's for our next podcast, the R-rated version.
Sure, the no holds barred version of the podcast. So, Papa Burger, we were talking Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Of course, that's a 1986 movie with starring Matthew Broderick. One of my all-time favorite movies. Nine times. I can assure you it hasn't been gone 19. Boop.
Has Platinum boop. Seen this?
Boop. Brace. Brace. So, we're going to talk. Platinum. Oh, I doubt it. Do you think she's seen it?
Well, no, I just, you know, I'd missed a couple episodes, so I don't know.
I doubt she's seen it. That would be my guess. Well, just doubt it. Add that to the list. Yes, if you're listening, Katie, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. So before we get started on this, understand right now our internet connection is not great. So we keep cutting each other off. So I apologize to the listeners. So here's the deal. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Basically, what we're going to talk about is time off. Here's the first thing that I want you to know. Norwalk Community School District, here's what you get. You get 15 sick days a year as a teacher, and you get 5 personal / emergency days you can do various things with, okay? Those 15 sick days turns into 14 sick days if you give one of your sick days to the sick leave bank. In my time, I have only known one person that has needed sick leave bank and used the sick leave bank, and that was a gentleman a long time ago. Do you remember? He was a custodian, got into a motorcycle accident because he raced motocross. Did severe damage to his legs and whatever else. And that was the only person that I know of for sure that jumped into that. Anyway, so that's what you get per year. Okay. Once you hit 115 sick days accumulated, that's your max. So let's say at the end of the 2020-2021 school year, you hit 115 sick days. You maxed out on your sick days. You get to carry 2 personal days with you, so you can end up with 7 of your personal / emergency days, right? You cannot? What do you end up with?
5 is the most you can carry any to the next year.
So it must be 3 you get. Yeah. You must get 3, and then you can carry your 2 to get to 5. Maybe that's how it right. works.
Okay. You could take a week's vacation if you store it up over the...
I'm wrong.
I think it's 3 years. You got to get... Okay. You can only carry 2 over the next year.
So in the 20... So you are at 115 sick days. And then in the 21-22 school year, which we would be in now, you get your 15. You give 1 to the sick leave bank. Now you're at 14. You would be at 129 sick days for the year. Okay. If you do not use your sick days, meaning you don't get back down to 115, you lose any of those sick days that are above the 115 mark. And you do not get anything for them. You just lose them. Okay? That would be my biggest issue with the way that we have our leave set up, is that for the last however many years, I keep giving lots of days back for nothing. There is nothing in return for that. Okay. Would you add or change anything that I threw out there, other than I appreciate you correcting me on that 5 is the max on the personal / emergency days. Would you add anything to how I described the days off for teachers? You're not adding anything. Okay. Obviously, in the business world, varies greatly, but you have PTO, right? You have paid time off. You accumulate that to be the equivalent of however many days or however many weeks you get based on your job, right? And oftentimes that has to do with your years of experience. And then sometimes you get it based on, you know, a different package as far as when you're coming into the job, if you're a brand new employee versus coming over from a different company in which you are, you're getting some time based on that. And then of course, when you go to the service industry, usually days or weeks, and then you, and again, a lot of this varies greatly depending on where you're at, but you know, you're talking service industry days, business, PTO, schools, sick days versus other days. And that's kind of the leave world. Did you add anything?
Well, you saw that I cut out there for a second.
Yeah, I sure did. Man, so, did I have to fill a lot of void there.
I think everything that I heard at the front end and the back end, I would agree with. If okay. You're talking PO, just the whole how we carry a bunch of non-essential days as educators versus PTO time.
Right. And you know, I've talked to you about this for years. Years is the that you just lose them. You know, you don't use very many days, and therefore they just go away. And I struggle with that. Whereas PTO, you would be able to hopefully carry that over or be paid for time that you don't use. But
I think technically we now count it as hours at Norwalk.
Yes, true. I would agree.
But like, you know, I was gone last week, of course, for being ill, and I still have over 1,000, I think 200 hours or something insane, more than the 115 or whatever. I don't even know if they're actually counting my hours now, but I could be sick for almost a school year is 178 days right now. So I could be sick for almost the entire year.
Well, I mean, for us, we get 129. And if I don't give one to the sick leave bank, I'd have 130 plus my five. I could be gone for 135 out of the 82, 84, whatever your contract days are. 185 days.
I think you're 190.
190 days. So 135 out of the 190.
Well, that, you know, when I have my knee surgery here again, I'm going to knock off 4 to 6 weeks and I'll still have 1,000 hours.
Isn't that crazy? I think that's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I think it's silly.
Why are we here? Well, we're here because we've got a shortage in the education world. We don't have teachers. we don't have as many teachers to choose from, and then we for surely don't have as many substitute teachers. So that's kind of where we're at. And one of the things that I'm not sure some people are aware of is the burden that is placed on others in the building when they're gone consistently. So that means here's how the education world works. You put in for a day to be gone because you're ill. I should have air quoted that, but because you're ill. You have to put in whether or not, you know, what your reasoning is for being gone and then whether or not you need a sub. If you need a sub, that goes into the end of the old portal in which active substitute teachers can see who put in a time, a day, and then they can grab it. And they can say, yes, I'll take Tom Scallon's absence for the day. There are lots of days and teachers that are just left open because we don't have enough substitutes to fill it. What that then means is the building secretary has to go through and look at their master schedule as to who has an open period first, second, third, fourth, all the way through the day, and then start placing people in other people's classrooms during their open period to cover for that absence. And then, depending on which period it is, as long as it's not warrior time, that teacher gets paid a stipend for covering that room. That is how, right now, we are surviving all of these absences that are happening. We've got a mix of some subs, and then we've got teachers during their free period coming in and covering. And we're short-staffed. And again, talked about it on several occasions, you know, about how great our kids are at dealing with that and going, getting through it, and then how great our staff is at helping and covering for people who are gone. So.
Well, and when you have warrior time, which for everybody else, that would be like homeroom.
Yes, advisement.
Everybody has a warrior time. Every teacher, practically, there's only a few that don't, like yourself, and you have supervision duties and things that you help us out with as right. The difference. But
The lunchroom.
That means there's nobody left to really cover the warrior time. You know, we're down to whether it's Marla does a lot, the counselors do it, me sometimes, Kratzer. Chris, Kratzer. Levi, you know,
Jake and Chris, McMahon, yeah. and Brown.
And that's a real tough period to cover as well.
Yeah, agree. The
district has been putting out daily tweets on, I think today 26 people were gone and 15 people had no subs.
Yeah.
And that's the thing you leave out when you talked about everything there is, sometimes there's places where we just say, we're not going to get a sub. We're just going to cover within because we can get it done to help, which in one way hurts us because we're doing some internal coverage. You know, it also helps because then people don't necessarily, let's say allegedly, don't take a day from their, you know, their sick leave.
Right. Well done, by the way. Well done.
Allegedly.
So here are the questions. Number one, when is it appropriate to take a day off?
Well, it's appropriate to take a day off when you've taken the, used one of the leaves that you have.
Okay. Fair enough. Very political.
I'm not a big believer on taking a mental health day and then calling in sick because of it. If you need to do that, then take a day. Now, that being said, I think we've created the system by which people take sick days. Instead of saying, here, everybody that comes here gets 10 days or whatever it may be. And if you're here for 5 years, then you get a certain amount of days more. And if you're here for 20 years, you get a certain amount of days more. It's a little bit of a different beast because I don't want to hear anybody give me that. You guys get your summers off, come do the job, and then tell me we get our summers off and why we get our summers off, because we only get paid for 9 months and it's a sprint. But I don't think you should miss unless you take the proper leave. But that being said, if we set up an appropriate system, then it wouldn't be characterized that way, if that makes sense.
That is an excellent answer. Because I will tell you, as Andy told Red in the Shawshank Redemption, outside of prison, I was straight as an arrow. I had to come to prison to learn how to be a crook. You are being forced, when you are a person who has been in the Norwalk Community School District for years, and you have over 115 sick days, and you continue to give back sick days that are unused and you get no compensation for them. You, why would you not use a sick day when you need to be gone for something?
Yeah. Well, and that's where I think we could look at things, and it might be exorbitant. It might be like, you got to get 15 days and we'll pay you for one day.
Sure. I'll take it. It's better than zero. You know what days. I mean? Yeah.
Well, I think a lot of people would do that. What's tough to do is say, here's 15 days and you get another personal day, because that just adds to the mess we're in. We have no subs.
Correct. And I'll be honest with you. I like the idea behind, you know, I get over 100 days. I accumulate over 100 days. you're going to give me X number of dollars per day that I give back over the 100. I accumulate 85 days. I'm going to get.
Sorry.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
No,
I don't have to keep going. People get it.
The district can't afford to give you money for every day over your 100 days.
They don't have to give me 100%. They could give me a percentage of those days.
And I don't think the district understands that. I believe that. I believe there would be a lot of people that say, oh, I'm over 100 days. Now I'm at 115. Here's 15 and you pay me for one.
Yeah. And again, how much money are they paying in subs? And how much money are they paying in stipends for teachers to cover periods?
Well, if we think, let's extrapolate this out to the future. Yes, we need the system. How about we go year round school?
Sure.
And then you go shorter stints, which I think would be better for certain populations that we have, you know, that don't have.
I know one of those populations well.
Yeah, that don't have the academic stamina that others have. You maybe go a little more block schedule, so you get credits done, and then you go to the next thing. You could put interventions in and create more times for teachers to earn money in the intervention times. Sure. But now you create times where do you need that mental health sick day, or can you say, all right, I can hold on for 6 weeks. I've got two more weeks. I'm going to hold on, and then I get a week away from all of it. I think there are things we could do like that, which would change the grind and get away from the agrarian calendar that we're on. And I think you could also find ways to compensate.
Yeah, I think those are all excellent ideas. And I think that is something that would be worth forming a committee at the district level to explore as far as options go. I think that would be excellent.
Oh, by the way, my dog just came and ate a Nerf dart right by me.
Okay.
Remember our talk?
Yeah, that's right. I love it. Maybe she had spidey senses and knew we were talking about it. That's perfect. Who is deciding when it's too much? Like you've taken too many days. Does anybody decide that? Or is it just you're out of days so you can't use anymore?
Well, the contract decides that. Okay. Building principals have to speak to you if you're going beyond those things. And as Dr. Rattigan becomes full-time HR, some of that falls to her, which she'll either deal with or she'll push to principals to say, you're going to have a meeting with someone. And then you could talk to your principal and get a message in frontline that says, hey, I understand that I misused one of my leaves.
Same thing with. Now I know in the business world, when you're out of PTO, you don't get any more days. However, if you take a day, that might be grounds for not having a job when you come back from using a day that you didn't have to use. When it comes to that.
Yes. It could be a fireable offense. It's usually we'll just take pay for a day, but if it keeps happening, you know, you never know the circumstances. I'm not going to say that's what, you know, it's may happen.
Right. These are all allegedly or hypothetical situations that might happen. So do families come into play? Are they treated differently?
What do you mean by that question?
So you have a sick child. Child is in Iowa City for an extended period of time. Is anything come into play with that?
Yes. So if you're going to be gone more than 5 days, it goes to the Family Medical Leave Act, and you fill out that information. You take up sick days that you have. Like I'm going to be Family Medical Leave Act when I have to do my replacement. it eats up all my sick days. I shouldn't say it eats up a very small portion of my sick day. But if I didn't have a bunch of sick days, it still allows me to keep my job legally.
Okay. And I think all of those things become factors. You know, a person who is single typically misses less work than somebody who is married with kids.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you 30 years ago, we had a teacher that was working for us part-time that had something come up when I was doing your job, when I was at risk. And I went to Tom Fish and I said, she's part-time, but because she's part-time, they won't allow her on our insurance. She needs to be on our insurance. Why would we not treat this person the same, blah, 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 blah. And Tom Fish got her on our insurance. Right or wrong, that would never, ever happen now.
Correct. Correct. I just think having a family changes your outlook on being gone and days missed. But at the end of the day, regardless of what happens, what the reason is, there is always a burden put on somebody because of you being gone.
Well, I mean, so I thought you were talking more bigger things with the Family Medical Leave Act, but yes, with young kids, if one of our kids is sick, Mel and I would trade days. And those days we trade were sick days. And up until recently, those were supposed to be emergency days. Now I think they can be listed as sick days, but that's that back to the system. Find a better system. Don't make people choose between their family and their job.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. It was time for us to have a conversation about leave and especially just the different world that educators live in when it comes to today's being gone, you know, and you made the comment about, you know, yes, we get our summers off, but you know, until we only get paid for 9 months and it's a sprint, come do our job and then tell us that, you know, we get summers off. And I would argue that in most of our worlds, we don't really get the summer off. We get some time off in the summer, but we're still doing something in the world of education or coaching, throughout the summer that requires us to still be around. So just looks different.
And if you talk to business, I don't know how many weeks Christy gets.
A lot.
But, you know, and I know she's, I don't know what the word is for them, but she's tenured. She's been there a long time. We get 8 weeks and we get Christmas, we get Thanksgiving. So, you know, you could say there's 10 weeks in there, only paid for 9 months, remember. But vacation time, I think, starts leveling off, you know, when you talk pay and other things like that.
The other thing that I would be curious is where did the 15 and 5 come from? Like, what kind of research did people do? Is that do we get 15 days because we're in the cesspool of germs and viruses with all the kids that we interact with? Is that why we get that many days, or where did that number come from for us?
Well, the 15 comes down to if a teacher gets pregnant and they want so many weeks to be with their baby, the old laws were that if with this many sick days, you could have them all covered by your sick days. So it took you 3 years and you had enough days to get covered through sick days and still get your pay.
Okay. Okay.
The five is a made up number by us.
Okay. So that makes a lot more sense. I didn't know. I mean, you know, that's one of the other things that people don't talk about is in the world of education, we are around germs a lot, especially at the elementary level. Holy cow.
Oh, wasn't your, my first year of coming into education, I don't remember a time I was sick from like my junior year in high school all the way through college. You know, yes, I was sick one time in college. I remember I had to go to the local doctor for the college who gave me Coca-Cola. And outside of that next year at school, I was sick 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Still coming to school, but I'm like, what is going on? I've never felt like this. And it's because when you get all those pieces of paper handed back with all the germs that are on them, it's a new exposure.
Right. And, you know, you think about where we're at now compared to where you were when you first started. We got a lot more kids in the building. We got a lot more stuff going on. So at the end of the day, I wanted to get this done. I wanted to talk a little bit about this. And really, to be honest with you, this is something that I have talked about for years, about us changing what we have for our policy when it comes to sick leave. And obviously, I have a much different perspective being a 25-year veteran at Norwalk as opposed to a 3-year veteran at Norwalk when it comes to sick leave. I keep giving days back, and a lot of them, for many years now.
That's because it's all kind of an artificial thing. You know, yes, the pregnancy, that's one of the reasons why. So you could get the 6 to 8 weeks covered, you know, and be home for those 6 to 8 weeks. I truly think we need to rethink the way we do things, like we talked about before, whether that's a committee or something like that. I don't understand. If we want people to stay at Norwalk, we're never going to be able to keep up with Waukee, Ankeny, Johnston. The money available there to pay teachers is always going to be more. Every bit of money we get from the governor and the legislature, they get the same money and they get to increase their salary schedule the same way. But if you start doing things like, let's pay some loyalty that you've been here for a while, you get more PTO days, or like we talked about earlier, trade in this many days and you get a day of pay, a small little bonus, you know. Yep. Let's pay our coaches more. I've put that out to our district office before, not because it's self-serving for me. I don't complain about what I paid, but our coaches spend more time with kids, coaches, sponsors, that whole activities. I mean, the whole bundle. If we give them bonuses and they stay, they spend more time with your kids. If we create positive experiences, then those teachers, coaches, sponsors stay. Longevity usually means the program is doing okay. I mean, that's how you get people to stay in Norwalk, which is an important thing. If we can't pay more, let's find ways to compensate them in other ways, which can be leaves and how we do that.
Sure. I all great ideas. I think all great ideas. If you know, we've got, do you have any final thoughts after that little?
Nope, that was my wrap. Soliloquy.
That was a good wrap. So anybody else that's out there listening, any thoughts on leave or anything that we talked about in the old Papa Burger section of this episode, that'd be great. Love to hear from you. We're going to go to history. You ready for this one? Linda Busmus, retiring after 37 years of service to the Norwalk Community School District. And if you have not been around for very long, it is impossible for you to fathom all of the different things that Linda has helped and done in our school district. Absolutely tremendous as far as what she has done for all of us. And you know, I missed 12 years of her career, but the 25 that I was a part of, she has done an awful lot for us, and we are going to miss her greatly. And I think the one thing that I don't know how many people have experienced is how big her heart is when it comes to helping and being kind and treating people well. She cares an awful lot about people and just does a fantastic job and did a fantastic job for us for 37 years. You needed it done and nobody knew who was going to do it. She took it over, guarantee it. And she did that for a lot of time that she was here. And then she found her late in her career home with the technology department and even learned some new tricks over there, as she said today in her little speech. So Linda Busmus, 37 years of service to Norwalk Community School District, retiring January 31st, and she will be missed. What do you got? Anything?
No, just Linda, hard worker, of course. She was also a great fundraiser. When I was head soccer coach, she helped us raise all sorts of money. So we, you know, I made some bad decisions as far as uniforms and things like that because I had no idea what I was doing. She helped raise money, so we looked like we were a classier outfit. And you could never give her enough kudos for all the work she put in behind the scenes that you wouldn't know.
Yeah, she's fantastic, and we're all the hats that she's worn. It's going to be tough to replace her. So that's our history for this one, and now onto the positive. And if you don't know what's coming, then you have not been following along very well. The Girls Union sanctioned girls wrestling over the weekend at Girls State, and saw the writing on the wall. And I think whether they want to admit it or not, some pressure was put on them by University of Iowa and Grandview University by hiring a full-time women's wrestling coach. And now, is this year three that Girls State was going on over there in the Coralville area? And now it's time, and it is finally sanctioned. So lots of questions to be answered, lots of work to be done for us as a school district, and then just as a state trying to get ready to roll this out, because it's ready to roll for next year. And so we got a lot of things to figure out. But our positive is girls wrestling is now sanctioned as a sport here in the state of Iowa by the Girls Athletic Union. So
I just like that Iowa put money where its mouth is, you know, that they did hire a female coach. I didn't know about Grandview. Same for them.
Yep.
You know, if you want to promote sports, find a way to do it. And that's good that they're doing it. And Iowa being the usual contender they are in wrestling, that's a bold statement to say, let's go.
Yeah. And now here are some things that, and I don't want you to think that I'm knocking it. And I'm just, here are some questions. One, what season is it going to be in? And the reason why I ask that is understand that girls swimming is in the fall, boys swimming is in the winter. And the part of the reason why that's the case is so that the coach can do both girls and boys and be the coach for both. So when is it going to be? And then what does that look like? Does every staff have to hire a new coach? Does each program get to set their own number as to if you know, we have 12 girls, then we will have a girls only program. If they have two girls, do they have to have a girls only program and pay a coach? What does all that look like? What does it look like as far as wrestling meets? What does it look like for wrestling rooms and space? So those are just some of the general questions that I've got when it comes to that, but still an exciting time to be a part of girls wrestling here in high school. And
that sounds like a podcast. That sounds like call up the University of Iowa and get the new coach on. That could be our first D1 coach on the call.
Well, technically Dan Clark would have been our first D1 coach, 'cause he was there at D1, but that one would be interesting if we could land that. So
yeah, I'm not going to count Dan.
Okay, fair enough. And you have every right to not, knowing him as well as you are. So answer the questions, right? Cold, flu, remedy for each. What does that look like, and what do you call them? And then if you've got any thoughts on what movies Katie should watch outside of, what was it, The Shack? Ferris Bueller's Day Off, we added that one. And then Forrest Gump. Those were the three that came at us this time. And then if you've got any thoughts on leave, and then if you know any of the answers to the girls wrestling questions, that would be, I'd love to know those. And that's what we got. So episode 73, it is Wednesday, January 26th, 8:00 PM. That's super early for us to be recording the podcast. I'm okay with that. Ferris Bueller's Day Off. You got anything final?
Nope.
Okay. I am Paul Patterson. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you coming on. Thank you for listening. Ferris Bueller's Day Off, episode 73 of Talking the Walk. I am Paul Patterson signing off. Thanks for listening.
Tom Scallon, have a good night.
Closing time. Thank you for listening to the Talkin' the Walk podcast show. Yeah.